Our scripture reading today is just that simple and that familiar. It is verse 1 of Psalms 23. Let us read these Psalms together, just verse 1. Let's read the Word of God together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. This is a very familiar passage in the book of the Bible. I'd like to return to this psalm in future weeks, because even though it is one of the shortest psalms in the whole book of Psalms, but yet without a doubt, it is one of the most profound and most impacting psalms in the whole whole book of the Bible. The 23rd Psalms have brought more comfort, more joy to hearts that are sorrowing and to people who are sick than anything else in the world. It has comforted more weeping and hurting souls, brought joy and hope to many bereaved people than anything else in the world. In fact, many soldiers would testify that when they are sick or when they are hurting, when they miss homes and loved ones, or whether they are facing death, this is the one passage in the whole Bible that is read most often to them. And every time without fail, it has given them renewed hope. It has brought joy, and it also brought certainty to their hearts. Over the next few months, as we have opportunity, I would like to take us deeper into Psalm 23 to discover together what makes this psalm, this particular chapter, so important and so powerful. Why is it that so many people love this particular psalm? And why is it that every generation is drawn to this particular psalm, Psalm 23? No matter what the circumstances may be, no matter what the culture is, down through the ages, this has been one of those biblical passages that has been most influential. And why is that? Answer, it is because this psalm, Psalm 23, talks about the exquisite love of God, the love of God, individual love of God, and personal love of God for his people. It is a very important and timely reminder of how deep, how fully, and also how tenderly God loves every one of his children. In fact, this sentiment that God loves every one of his children at such a deep and personal level goes through the entire psalm. As we read the psalm with our hearts, I hope that you and I will begin to get an idea, a greater idea of how much God really does love us, how deeply God has committed himself to us. Even in our darkest moments, and even at our lowest points, this particular passage of the Bible can and will continue to speak to us, to renew us. And as a result, we can turn to God again and again, because from these psalms, we are told time and again that God really does love his people. No matter what we are going through, one thing that we know that our hearts need to know the most is how much God loves us. Not as a group, not as people in general, but as precious individuals in the eyes of God. I hope that as we go through this psalm, you and I would also grow in understanding and experience of God's personal love. And in the future weeks, I want to continue to look at this psalm together, because I want to use these psalms to bless you. Today we're going to look at just verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And I also hope that as we study this psalm together, we would also undertake one exercise. We would all, individually and together as a church, commit to memorize this entire psalm. So every time when we look at these psalms, we are going to recite, to memorize up to what we have looked at. And I hope that, you know, by the time we have memorized this psalm or taken it to heart, we're going to find out that when we store up the Word of God in our hearts, God has many opportunities and many marvelous ways to bring it up again, so as to by way of blessing us. So today our goal is just verse 1. It is very easy. Let us read again together in English, verse 1 of Psalm 23 in English. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. 我们现在用广东话 ,let's try that in Cantonese if you are able, or Thai Chinese. 耶和华是我的牧者，我必不致缺乏。And now Mandarin, 国语。耶和华是我的牧者，我必不致缺乏。Hopefully by the time we are done, we would have already memorized the whole Psalm 23, so that God can use it to encourage us. Now before we go any further, let's commit this time of learning to God. Let us pray. Gracious and Almighty Father, we thank you what a joy it is to open your word to one of the most endearing passages in the Word of God. And what a privilege it is to study this great psalm together. We pray that as we look into this psalm, that we would allow ourselves to dwell on it, and we would also allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts, hearts that may be hurting, hearts that may be heavy, hearts that might be struggling badly. But Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to you. Because Lord, you know that sometimes underneath what seems an okay facade, there are burdens. There is heaviness. And what we need today is to hear from you how much you really love us, to hear from you your deep commitment to shepherd our lives. So we pray, O gracious Lord, that you will speak to us. You will lift us up. You would encourage us because you are our great shepherd. Father, we pray that you would use me as your mouthpiece. Give me strength and humility to speak for you, and also at the same time to learn together with my brothers and sisters here. May be the voice of God that we are hearing and the voice of God that we are taking away with. Move in a very special way, O Father God, for we ask in the intimate and powerful name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Beginning of verse 1 in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Let us focus on this part A of verse 1. There are two key words here, my and shepherd. You will note that David did not begin Psalm 23 by saying that the Lord is the shepherd of all the earth. No, he did not say that. David did not say that the Lord is the shepherd of all Israel, even though that might be true. He did not say that. David also did not say that the Lord is the shepherd of every living creature in the universe. Rather, he said very emphatically, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It conveys an intimate, personal, and deep relationship between David and Yahweh. And we see that theme, that same sentiment, you know, running throughout the entire Psalms. In fact, I would encourage you, actually I've done the work for you already, if you go home and if yours is not the NIV version or you are using a different Chinese, modern translation, I would encourage you to open the Bible up to, you know, Psalm 23 and start counting the word me, my, I, and see how many times it recurs. In the NIV version, you would find that it occurs 17 times. 17 times. In the Chinese translation, the traditional Heheben, you know, you would find that it is not 17 times, it is 16 times. But the word is implied, you know, again in verse 4. It is amazing, isn't it? In just short six sentences or verses, you find, you know, me, my, I, you know, similar words recurring as many as 16 or 17 times. What David is trying to convey to us using all these, you know, words, recurrence, is the depth, the concern, the commitment that God has, not to the world, not to people in general, but to individual believers, to you, to me, to every individual Christians. It is that sense of personal confidence in God that, you know, I can trust God. I can come before God and I can learn to lay all my burdens before Him. Why? Because I know that God is interested in me as a person, as an individual child of God. And this is what David was experiencing. He can come before God and he said, God, you are my God, as many as 16 or 17 times. If you are one of God's sheep, God is trying to communicate to you and to assure you that He loves you just as much as He loves David. He wants us to know that that is the way He feels about us. He wants us to be absolutely certain of the fact that God loves you individually and God loves you personally. That is why the Holy Spirit, through David, wrote these Psalms, to try to tell us that God's love for His people goes way deep. So therefore, David began his psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." He could also turn around as easily and, you know, tell us that the Lord is your shepherd also. But at this point, it is important for us to make a distinction. It is important to clarify whose shepherd the Lord is, whether we are or whether I am one of God's sheep. How do I know that I'm one of God's sheep? Very simple. I belong to God. God owns me. In David's time, sheep were domestic animals, but they were also valuable personal properties. It was the same, you know, in the days of Jesus. You would have to pay personal property tax on it. If you own sheep, you know, you would have to pay personal property tax. Just like houses. In the blue book, if they have a blue book at the time, you know, you will find that there's categories on cars, you know, motorhomes and boats and other things too. You would also find that in the blue book, there would also be a whole section on the different types of sheep, because that was how valuable they were, personal properties, in the time of David and also in the time of Jesus Christ. So it is important for us to realize that sheep were valuable properties. However, not everybody alive is automatically a sheep of God's pasture. We are part of God's creation, no doubt about it. But we are not automatically, we are not necessarily God's sheep. How do we know? In John chapter 10, verse 26, Jesus is talking here. Jesus said that, you know, you do not believe. You do not believe. Those people who are against Jesus. Jesus was telling them that you do not believe because what? You are not my sheep. If you were my sheep, this is what happens. In verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and I follow them. And they follow me. Jesus is very clear that everybody is God's creature, part of God's creation, but not everybody is God's sheep. Again, in verse 14 of John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. One of the misconceptions in modern day culture is that there are many people who try to claim the blessing of Psalm 23 for their lives, when in fact, it doesn't belong to them, sadly speaking. So it is wrong to claim what is not ours. Psalm 23, specifically and eternally, belongs only to God's people, God's sheep, those who were bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have made up their mind to accept the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior and Master. Those who know that they are children of God because of Jesus Christ. Not only would they know that they are creatures of God's creation, but in addition to that, they also have the assurance of knowing they are sheep, they are children, they are people of God Almighty. So we have to be careful here. As much as we love Psalm 23, as much as we want to, like David, have assurance of God's presence in this life And then, we did not read that, but it is going to come up later on in Psalm 23, you know, that David was very certain that in the days to come, in the next life to come, he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As much as we want that kind of certainty, that kind of hope and promises, we have to ask ourselves, first and foremost, am I a child of God? How would I know? Do I belong to God's fold? We need to make sure of that. If you're not certain about your relationship with God, I would encourage you, after service, come and see me. I'd love to chat with you. Love to pray to make sure that you have the full assurance of salvation. But if, however, you are one of God's children, you are a sheep of God's pasture, I want to let you know that this psalm is yours and yours entirely. It is a piece of promise. It is a piece of property as a gift from God for us to enjoy forever and ever. So David was very clear and very deliberate when he began the Psalms with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." Is God your shepherd? It is a very important question. The other key word in verse 1 is shepherd. Of all the words David could have chosen to describe how God felt towards his people, David chose this word, shepherd. One reason may be that David himself, when he was a young lad, was a shepherd. So therefore, David understood the unique relationship, the special friendship between a shepherd and his sheep. He understood what being a shepherd meant. This is one of the reasons why David chose this word shepherd to describe God. But I think a second reason why David chose this very important word to describe God's love towards his people is that, you know, he would know that people back in his day, when they hear this word shepherd, they would understand all the meaning, all the connotation that this word shepherd would bring. They would understand that, you know, when God is their shepherd, they would understand that kind of special relationship God wants to bless them with. In a way, unfortunately, in our culture today, not many people understand the term shepherd and what it connotes or implies. But if, however, we are to rewrite Psalm 23, starting with these words, "Not the Lord is my shepherd, but the Lord is my computer, or my iPad, or the Lord is my cell phone," perhaps most people would get it. We rely on this gadget so much to stay in touch with people. For entertainment, go online and look for information, order for delivery, you know, games and so on. You almost cannot do without a computer or a cell phone. Or maybe, you know, if Psalm 23 verse 1 would have started as, "The Lord is my electricity," then a lot more people would understand that, you know, we really cannot do without God. Who is our power source? Who is our communication medium? People would understand Psalm 23 and appreciate a lot better. But in David's day, the word that came to mind was shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not too many people know what that fully implies today. There are a few things that we need to understand by shepherd in the days of David and also in the days of Jesus, because Jesus used exactly the same term to describe himself. First, in the days of Jesus and in the days of David, shepherds take total responsibility for the life of their sheep. Shepherds take total responsibility for the life of their sheep. I once had to work a project on a cattle and sheep farm for 5 long months. And there was enough time for me to learn something about cows and sheep, because, you know, I spent almost every day with them from about 4 o'clock in the morning to about 7 or 8 in the evening. I have to learn to milk 420 cows a day. I'll tell you about that some other time. But one of the things I appreciate You know, the more time I spent on the farm was, you know, I appreciate learning a little bit more about sheep. I tell you something about sheep. Unlike most other animals, sheep do not learn and will not learn to take care of themselves. They are totally dependent on other people. Especially back in the days of Jesus and David, if you turn a sheep loose in the wilderness, chances are that it's going to die. It's going to be attacked by enemies. If you take a sheep out and let it run free, chances are that the sheep will never find its way home again. More than any livestock, a sheep requires total attention and meticulous care from the shepherd. We also know from many stories that sheep are essentially helpless. They are basically, some people say stupid, but I don't think they are quite that stupid. But we know that, you know, sheep cannot provide for their own food, like lions and tigers. They cannot defend themselves against predators. They are basically defenseless. They cannot run very fast. They do not have a lot of strength. They do not have natural defenses like sharp claws. They can't climb trees. They can't dig a tunnel. They cannot swim across the waters. So you find that, you know, when in moments of danger, sheep are very susceptible to attacks. Sheep also have an incredible poor sense of direction. If a sheep gets lost, you know what it's going to do? After a while, and after a few bang sound, you know, the sheep is going to just sit down and do nothing because it has no idea which way to turn. And unless the shepherd goes out and finds the sheep, the lost sheep is dead sheep because they do not know how to find their way home. We also know that sheep are easily frightened and they are stubborn. Now, the point of all these qualities about sheep is because of all this, shepherds end up with the total responsibility for the life of the sheep. Every moment, every day, a shepherd has got to be on active duty. And this is important. You know why? Because in agreeing to be our shepherd, in consenting to be our shepherd, God Almighty has agreed to take upon himself this kind of total, consuming, 24/7 type of responsibility and care for his people. God is saying that if I'm your shepherd, I'm going to take full responsibility for you. I'm going to take care of you from day one to eternity. I'm going to let my eyes stay on you and on you all the time. You may not know it, you may not feel it, but trust me, I'm watching over you. And I'm also watching on your behalf. God says that, you know, God Almighty, the God who created heaven and earth, is going to take total responsibility. God is going to be fully responsible for each and every one of his children. In David's and Jesus' time, when they read Psalm 23 or other passages about God being the shepherd for his people, this is one of those things that came automatically to mind. You know, they are not thinking about the shepherd standing there, you know, reading his book, why the sheep were grazing. They were thinking about, in their mind, you know, God is the shepherd and God is going to take total responsibility. God is going to watch over us. God is going to protect us. God is going to lead us home. God is going to, you know, provide for us. This is the kind of idea, total responsibility, you know, endless love, unconditional love from God, their shepherd, to them, God's sheep. So this is why David deliberately chose this word, shepherd, to describe God's commitment to his people. The second thing about God as our shepherd, back in the days of David and Jesus, is this: the quality of the shepherd. The welfare of the sheep is directly related to the quality of the shepherd. How well the sheep gets on is related to what kind of shepherd they've got. Sheep that has a kind, gentle, sacrificial, hardworking shepherds, those sheep prosper and thrive. On the other hand, if the shepherd is cruel, cowards, his sheep would suffer and die. For a good shepherd, the welfare of the sheep is his ultimate and total goal in life. Earlier on, we said God took total responsibility of his sheep. Now, we learn that shepherds back in the day of Jesus and also back in the days of David, for them, the most important thing in life is to take care of their sheep, the welfare of the sheep. A good shepherd's greatest reward and greatest joy is to see the sheep thrive, multiply, well-fed, safe, and blossoming. The shepherd would guard them with his life, and he's willing to give everything he's got in order to save, lead, protect, and feed the sheep. So much so that, if necessary, he would also give up his life. This kind of total commitment, this kind of going all out to take care of sheep, and this kind of, I'll do whatever it takes, just as long as my sheep is well-fed, protected, safe, and sound. We can see it also in the days of Jesus. You probably remember the familiar, Christmas story in Luke chapter 12. Before the whole world knew about the birth of the Savior, Jesus, a group of what kind of person were in the wilderness? A group of shepherds were in the wilderness. What were they doing? They were watching their flocks. And do you know what time of the day it was? I gave away the answer. They were watching their flock at night. At night. When we kind of look at this passage, if we do not know much about the culture of the days, we might say that, they have nowhere else to go. You couldn't have a party, that kind of things, So they were there, probably sleeping. But over here, we are told in this passage that they weren't sleeping. They were on active duty. They were watching, guarding, protecting, watching over the flock at night. You will find that good shepherds never clock out. They don't punch out. They are on active duty 24/7. And this is what Jesus wants us to know. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I, the good shepherd, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep." And this is another thing for us to remember, and it is an awesome, awesome truth. In agreeing, in consenting, in wanting to be our good shepherd, God Almighty tells us that he is willing to give everything he has got just so that we can become his children. Because above everything else, to the good shepherd, the welfare of the sheep, the quality, the well-being of the sheep is his ultimate and greatest goal. So God is telling us that, in being our shepherd, God wants to take care of us. You may be sick, you may be going through a tough time, but God says, trust me, I know what you're going through. I'm going to be there with you. In fact, I'm already there with you. You may not sense it, but trust me, I'm there. I'm taking care of everything. You can trust me for your life and everything that happens to you. In David and Jesus' time, anyone who understands the relationship between shepherd and sheep would have known these two facts. One is that God takes total responsibility of you if you are his sheep. Number two, God's ultimate goal is that, his sheep is going to be fattened up, not for slaughter, but fattened up, so that you can blossom, you can thrive, you can have a good life. Being a shepherd is a demanding commitment, and Jesus' highest concern and highest priority is for our enjoyment of God, our well-being, Today, as we come, once a month, as we have done so many times, before the communion table of God, it is a good time to again remind ourselves that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Perfect Shepherd, stands here, inviting us to trust him and to follow him as his sheep. Again, if you're not sure about whether Jesus is your Good Shepherd, today may be the day to finally put that doubt to rest. And we hope that you would talk to me or to someone who is already a believer in this church. There are lots of people who will be glad to pray with you and to help you. But for us who are the sheep and the children of God, Jesus is saying that, you know, when you celebrate, when you partake of the elements of the communion, remember that they are part of the Good Shepherd's body and blood. This is what the Good Shepherd did, making good his promises. When Jesus died on the cross, he told us that, you know, it is his way of taking full responsibility for us, not just in this life, but so we can have life eternal in the next to come. When Jesus died on the cross, Jesus is telling us that he wants to give life, life abundance to us. So how? If we come before him and accept him as our Savior, Jesus says that, you know, he's going to give us new life, glorious life with God. So the communion table is a great time for us to humble ourselves before God. It is also a great place for us to renew our love with God. Lots of time, we let that love, that relationship grow cold. And today is a great time to say, the Good Shepherd is calling. The Good Shepherd is looking for lost sheep in the wilderness. The Good Shepherd has his eyes on each and every sheep in the penfold. I hope that you can experience the love of God, because it's how much he loves you, how much God is committed to us personally, individually, tenderly, deeply, and eternally. Jesus wants us to know that as our Good Shepherd, Almighty and all-loving Jesus takes total responsibility for us. Everything that happens to us, he knows. He's concerned, and he's already doing something to help, so we can keep trusting him all the way. Jesus also wants us to know that as our good and perfect shepherd, he is not going to leave us as orphans. He's dependable, trustworthy, powerful, and he wants to be our best friend. So therefore, it is never a mistake committing our lives to him. In the next few minutes or next few seconds, I'm going to give us some time to individually confess before God our need of him, or that we have run away from him, or that we have given him cold shoulders from time to time. Or we may want to use this time to confess before God our fears, our anxious moments, our doubts, our inability or limitations, whatever it may be. If God is speaking to you, you know what it is. And it is strictly between you and God. So let's use the next few seconds. Each and every one come before God, the Good Shepherd, because he's listening. He cares for us. He says, I want to be totally responsible for you. I want to make sure that you are protected, that I can give you the very best that I have in store for you. Would we want that? I sure hope we would. But however, we have to start asking. Asking for forgiveness and asking for the gifts and for the grace of the Lord Jesus. So, let us bow our heads and in silent confession, let's come before God. Whatever is bothering you, tell God and ask the Good Shepherd to take it away and restore you joy. Father God, in the next few moments of quietness, speak to us. Search our hearts and help us come clean with you. God, we thank you that you, the good shepherd, the eternal and the perfect shepherd, you are listening. We thank you, O Lord, that we may not have been able to describe each and every situation to the fullest, but you do understand, and you love us enough to want to take total responsibility of us. Thank you, Father God, that in Jesus Christ, you have given us not just new life, but also life abundant. And we pray, O Lord, that for each and every one who yearns to re-experience that new life, Lord, you will make it come true today. Father, we thank you for listening to our prayers. We thank you for doing something about it. And we thank you, O Lord, that we are your sheep and you are our shepherd. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. Amen.